Okay, the second section that we're looking at, again, the voices changed. The first voice we had, or group of voices, centered kind of around this Marie character, who started off, or it started off either in a general voice or a particular voice, it's hard to say, talking about memory, and then it ends with a memory. In a sense, we have the same thing repeated in this second stanza. But here it seems to, the voice seems to have changed. It's almost like this voice of God or voice of doom, wherever it is. What are the roots that clutch the branches? What branches grow out of this stony rubbish? Son of man, you cannot say or guess. For you know only a heap of broken images. And that's a famous line, which almost says, son of man, like a Jesus figure, a Messiah figure, a figure who can give meaning to meaninglessness, is saying, oh, you can bring her the broken images of the past, a tradition that's fallen apart. And that's one of the reasons that Eliot later added all the footnotes to all the poems that he had referenced, you know, trying to show that this was a mosaic, not just of his voices, but the voices of the tradition. A tradition that seems to have run out of gas. Then you have these famous lines about showing you your shadow at morning striding behind you, your shadow at evening rising to meet you. There's this play here, I think, between substance and shadow, or self and shadow. To what degree is the shadow the spirit, or to what degree is the shadow, you know, an existential version of the self that's constantly changing, you know, going, being bigger or smaller as the light hits it differently. He says, I will show you fear in a handful of dust. What do you think that references? What's that mean?
I think all three of those lines, your shadow at morning starting behind you, is a reference to maybe shadows of your past, shadows at evening rising to meet you, that's your future coming at you. And people's biggest fear, when he says, I'll show you fear in a handful of dust, is death, and death is usually represented by dust. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's where he's going with that. Whether you're looking at your past or you're looking at your future, everyone fears death.
Yeah. You know, living in this present tense, you know, you live, that's the worst thing about the present, is the fear of what might happen, you know, and the fear of the ultimate happening, you know, dying, the stopping of existence. But it's interesting, we go from this kind of abstract, or at least more formal passage after this reference here to a song from Wagner. This, by the way, came from some Arctic explorer. They talked about your shadows in the Arctic. Now his sources were all over the place. But I think what he was trying to show us that none of us lives really alone. We are all a compound of voices that we hear that create the identities that we take on. Like this Hyacinth girl. You know, this sounds like something almost from undergrad days. You know, you called me the Hyacinth girl. And yet, when I came back from the Hyacinth Garden, and it looked like we were going to have this profound interaction between two people, overcoming the gaps or spaces between people that language and communication are supposed to be able to leap, instead, there's a failure. He says, I was neither living nor dead, and I knew nothing. Looking into the heart of the light, the silence. So instead of getting meaning or connection, you get just the opposite, which puts us again back with the type of problems that someone like Hardy writes about, or the other war poets, you know.
It's interesting that he changes voices after a passage in German or after a passage in Dutch. Both times he changes voices after he gives one of those, for lack of a better word, memories or triggers for a memory.
Well, and this is a passage about the wind. You know, know, which is a symbol of the spirit, and, you know, also the wandering aspect of the spirit, and it carries it over all the way down to this line. So it's almost like the song here is going on, and I'm not, this might be Heine instead of Wagner, I'll have to check it out, but it's going on beyond, you know, at the same time the poem's going on. So you've got like almost like layers. Then we have the Madame Sesostris, who's the clairvoyant. Either she's for real or she's a fake. And again, this is the whole idea, you know, is there some mystical knowledge of the self able to tell the future? She's a tarot card reader. Well, let's just see how Elliot reads it.
Famous clairvoyant,